It's NFL Free Agency, breaking down the Broncos' acquisitions of Kareem Jackson and Jawan James. It's Football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It is D-Mac with Tom Nalen. That's right. In terms of news going on today, we know that... Has Roby officially signed somewhere else? Where did he sign, guys? Houston. Right. A one-year...
What?
One-year, $10 million.
What?
No, he wants to prove it. That's the quote I read. He wants to have a prove-it deal.
Prove it deal. Bradley Roby, $10
million. One-year, $10 million. Well, supposedly he turned down a three-year deal from the Steelers and also a one-year offer from the 49ers. The Broncos didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't even talk to him. No interest. Billy Turner. Now, this is a fun one. Mm. Played 25 games in 5 years. Gets a four-year, $28 million deal, including $11 million in year one. Billy Turner, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Turner.
He's versatile.
Okay.
Play tackle and guard.
Okay. Good player?
Decent player. He's getting decent money. What, 70 a year average?
Mm-hmm. Broncos were in on him in the beginning. And then when that kind of fell apart, they moved more aggressively to Jawan James.
I'm sure they were talking to Jawan James the whole time. When I was about to be a free agent at one point, my agent was talking to a couple teams. And this is well before, because I ended up signing back with the Broncos a week before free agency. So when you're a free agent and you haven't been franchised, there's teams calling your agent well before. So you're listening to what the Broncos are saying and you're listening to other teams, and the Broncos don't know what the other teams are saying. And when they say negotiations break down, it's Billy Turner saying, I can get a lot more money somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's versatile. He can play tackle and guard, which is appealing to a lot of teams, especially when you only dress 6 or 7 O-linemen.
I guess the big news today, too, is that Matt Paradis is now gone. Matt Paradis is a member of the Panthers, taking a three-year deal.
That really sucks. I just feel like they don't value their own players like they do other players.
Well,
unless that, or they fell in love with, Coach Munchak fell in love with Connor McGovern playing center, which they probably watched those last couple games to decide, can this guy get better at center?
Well, from what I was told, it was pretty rough when it came to Paradis. They weren't all that encouraging with him in the beginning. It was never really more than a one-year deal for Matt, period, with the Broncos.
Because of the injury.
Because of the injury, yeah.
Right. So I'm sad because I feel like they do this all the time. They'll pick one or two guys and re-sign them, but they'll let everybody go. And I think I go back to Malik Jackson because I think he was a good football player.
I agree.
He still is a good football player despite getting benched, but it's dysfunctional down Jacksonville. Who knows what happened?
Mm-hmm.
But he's played well up until the midway point of last year, and I feel like he should be on the Broncos. I feel like he was a big part of that Super Bowl defense. And he's a Bronco. He was drafted by the Broncos.
You feel he should have.
But he's
just
a Brian Sanders guy, so maybe that has something to do with it.
You feel like he just should never have left, or they should have got him back?
No. Shouldn't have left.
Well, Malik always.
They made the choice of Derek. Do you have to make a choice?
I don't think so.
Can you not pay him?
No, I think there's so many ways to massage money in
the NFL. You can look at the salary cap and go, oh, the Broncos only have $34 million to spend, and they've already signed these two guys, so now they don't have enough money to pay anybody else.
They definitely came after Malik to sign him. It wasn't the same offer. And Malik has told us over the years, hey, had they done so in training camp or the beginning of the season.
That's the other thing. Why stretch these things out? Von Miller, why? Why would you take it to the 12th hour to re-sign Von Miller?
Well, you know what I think the truth is there,
Demarius,
with Von?
Matt Prater.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
He straightened himself out, and he's doing all right, which is good.
But they do it, they use the franchise tag to stretch these negotiations, and that's the point of it, I think. I don't think any team wants to pay a player that money for just 1 year and then let him walk. Here's, I think they just buy some time.
By the way, here's the deal with Vaughn. They can move on from Vaughn after next year. No problem. Like, they're just, it's Vaughn's contract with the Broncos really is this year and next year. And then after that, there's no significant hit on anything.
That's every NFL contract. Joe Flacco's in the same boat.
Joe Flacco's definitely in the same boat.
They're all structured like that. It's the first couple years, 3 or 4 right. years, and then who knows? It's the beauty of the NFL, though. I love it.
It's funny you say that. I love it, too.
Everyone else hates it. Players hate it.
I
did not mind it.
Why?
Because you have to, unlike the other sports where you got the Bobby Bonillas of the world.
Yeah.
You can, I understand it, and it makes you never can relax. Between the draft and your non-guaranteed money.
You like that.
Yeah, because you don't get lazy. It's easy to you get a pile of money. It's easy for someone to get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the structure.
Players hate it in general, though.
They do.
I always make the argument it's the best thing for the fans. It's what levels the playing field. It's
hard for teams to tank because you have guys out there
right.
playing hard week 17.
Right. They care.
Because if you're bad, you're getting a new coach and you want to put on film, hey, I can still play.
Right.
Don't cut me. I don't want to restructure. You better week 17 bring it.
Yeah, the whole concept of tanking to me is bizarre because I just don't know any coach or any player who doesn't really like kind of go along with it. Or, you know, I suppose it happens in like basketball specifically because the players just aren't very, very good.
Right. You can construct a roster and have management tell the head coach, hey, listen, this is what you got. We understand. But
which is what the Raiders have more or less done.
Zion's coming out this year, let's go for him.
Right, like when the Suns like beat the Warriors, talk about an unnecessary move.
What were they thinking?
Are you insane?
I thought they'd sit Booker for the fourth.
Because you're battling a couple of other low level teams there for that, you know, mythical like 17 win season, and you know you don't really need that.
Yeah. That was ballsy.
Yeah. It's harder to do in football. It's almost impossible to do in football, which is why, you know, a 2 or 3 win team like the 49ers will come and, you know, host the Broncos at 6-6 who've won 3 games in a row and clean their clock.
Yeah.
You know, there's no tanking going on there.
No. Now, the front office might want them to tank, but you can't tell the players because they don't have guaranteed contracts. They're playing for 2019.
The only thing you can do is like what the Raiders did. I mean, and even the Raiders weren't tanking.
No, but, whoever came in for Amari Cooper was going to try to play as well as possible.
Sure. So ultimately, that's what you see. You're hitting the nail on the head with ultimately what you have to do if you really want to rebuild. If you really want to rebuild, you got to trade Von Miller. You know, you got to trade some of these guys and load up. So there is no rebuilding. There's no rebuilding going on. Mm-mm. None.
No, because you need Von Miller on the other side of a rebuild. Any valuable piece you have. If they're that good, Von Miller is a franchise player who has good years left in him. He has to be on the other side of the rebuild. He can't be a chip to trade away in the rebuild because the pieces you're getting back aren't going to be Von Miller.
All right, so
he might set you back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, if you're spinning around 6-10, 7-9, whatever, if it's not happening, and there may be an attitude issue there too. By the way, that could happen. And I don't know how dramatic that would, you know, result in the product on the field. But I don't think players like Vaughn or Chris Harris want to lose games, that's for sure. When we come back, what to expect then from this Broncos team, the way it's being constructed. We all get to meet Joe Flacco and Juwan James and Jackson and everybody. And all quiet on the Western Front right now with the Broncos. We'll see what other pieces get added. It's D-Mac with Tom Nalen on The Fan.
It's NFL Free Agency. Breaking down the Broncos' acquisitions of Kareem Jackson and Juwan James. Here's The Drive.
Oh, I didn't know that. Talking to Tom Nalen, D-Mac. I didn't know you. Of course, I knew you went to Boston College. I never talked to you about who you turned down.
Yeah.
You turned down... Harvard?
Harvard.
West Point?
West Point.
That makes sense. I can't. That's...
Yeah. It was a commitment after.
Yeah. And Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Syracuse.
Northeastern. Did you turn down Syracuse?
Northeastern.
Oh, my dad.
I didn't really have to turn down Northeastern. It was... No. They don't even have a program anymore.
They don't have football? Their baseball has gone through the roof.
Hockey, too. Well...
Yeah, they've won the last two bean pots. Listen, in terms of my dad's...
BC in the bean pot.
Yeah. Oh, the fact that they've won, too, is you know... Yeah.
It used to be BCBU. That was it.
Oh, I know.
Nobody knew Northeastern or Harvard played in it.
My dad did, because he would remind me every year about it.
Your dad played at Northeastern, right?
He did. He played in the bean pot. Yeah. Yep, twice. And then he played baseball for 4 years. He couldn't do baseball and hockey together for 4 years, but he did them together for 2 years and played baseball for four.
Two sports for 2 years.
Yeah.
No school.
He wasn't a great student. It's Northeastern. It was like a commuter school, you know? It wasn't exactly
it's a good school now.
It is a good school now, yeah. But you turned down Notre Dame.
Yes.
That's interesting to me. Why did you turn down Notre Dame for Boston College?
Well, BC's half an hour from where I grew up. That was one of the reasons. I didn't like it out there. I didn't like the campus. I didn't like the players. I didn't like Lou Holtz.
Okay.
This is right after, and they were feeling it. They just won the national championship, I think, in 88 or 89. 88.
I guess I'm just comparing it because they're both, you know, Jesuit schools. They have a lot in common, just it's Notre Dame's a little bit more pumped up, you know.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's nothing around it. It was boring. So I chose the safe route.
Okay. I mean, it obviously worked out great, so.
Well,
Harvard, that's an interesting one.
Mm.
That might have been a little tempting.
No, I didn't know what Harvard was. Honestly, I didn't. I didn't know what it meant.
You didn't appreciate it.
I didn't know what a degree from Harvard would mean.
I mean, because you could have still easily...
I was 17. There was no parent involvement in these decisions.
You know, it's the oldest college in the world, America. Not the world.
For the non-geography majors, they call BC the Harvard of the East. That's what they call it now. That's the new nickname.
Yeah. So your parents weren't helping you in that process?
No. No, my dad didn't go to college. He didn't know. He couldn't be of any help.
Were you playing center in high school?
No, I was like a linebacker.
Really?
BC, I was supposed to be a linebacker at BC. I was 210 pounds.
Gotcha. Yeah. So how'd you become an offensive lineman?
The first day of camp. The coach said, can you snap? I said, no. He goes, well, you're going to learn. I said, okay.
And that was it.
Got my ass handed to me every day.
The fun was over.
Can you imagine... A fifth-year senior nose guard across from me with rec specs on. Massive dude. And I'm 210 pounds, snapping the ball. Still have the ball. Quarterback's got the ball. All three of us are just getting pushed back. Glenn Foley is a quarterback doing scout team.
Gotcha.
It's brutal.
You weren't there at the same time as roided up Mike Ruth, were you?
No. I worked out with him a couple times.
That must have been intimidating.
Oh, he was... He'd work out in jeans, throw four plates on, just start repping it out, 405. In jeans and a t-shirt at this gym I worked out at. That's when I was with the Broncos. And I was like, holy crap, man.
Mike Ruth, if you don't know, was one of the most dominant college players of all time, but he was totally a work of steroids. He was.
Well, everybody was in the 80s, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tip-off were the
one the island.
The giant zits that inhabited his entire body. It was a little disgusting.
I had friends that were ball boys for the Patriots, and they said he used to work it because he was with the Patriots for a time.
Okay.
And they said when he worked out, his whole t-shirt would be blood from all the pimples popping when he worked out. He's a special dude. Wanted to be a priest.
He went to the right school. All right, let me ask you this then. So as long as we're going down this road and we see what's working in free agency and the Broncos... What do you think of Juwan James? What's your impressions of him? Let's just go there.
I think he's an athletic right tackle. He's a right tackle. That's why I say they overpaid, because right tackles in general don't get paid like a left tackle.
He is the highest paid now. He will be the highest paid right tackle in the NFL.
More than Lane Johnson, who I think is a fantastic right tackle.
Yeah.
And he was drafted he was supposed to be the left tackle for the Eagles, but Jason Peters is there, so he's a right tackle. But... I think the Broncos filled a need. They tried to get him last year. Mm-hmm. Chris Cooper, I'm hoping that they talked to Chris Cooper about him, who's now the Broncos' assistant O-line coach.
You'd have to think, right?
You'd hope.
Right.
I don't know if that happened.
But they were kind of making a play for Juwan James last year. Yeah.
Right. So, obviously, they've had another year to watch him and felt comfortable giving them the money, and you need a right tackle. Especially when you got a guy like Von Miller lining up against right tackles now.
All right, so why have they been just a total disaster in this department with Stevenson, with Menelik Watson? Help me out. Who else?
Valdir wasn't terrible.
No.
He got hurt, but...
And he was always hurt.
Don't forget Michael Schofield.
Right. Who, you know, is done all right since he's left.
Well, he's not blocking Khalil Mack every week. That helps.
That helps.
He's an upgrade. He has to be an upgrade. Right, so they can't miss. Why have they had a problem with it? Because I don't think they've paid the money to get a tackle that they have now.
So now they've done it.
Now they've done it. Now they don't have to worry about that. Now they got to find a left tackle.
Ouch. Do they?
Don't they?
Do they?
They should.
What's the problem over there?
See, I held every play, but I'm a center, and you can get away with it. When you hold out there, they should put him on defense. I mean, head coach likes tacklers.
Wow.
Just saying.
Oh, wow. All right, let's dig into that a little deeper coming up. So you're down on Garrett Bowles, obviously.
I mean.
Okay. Yeah. No. Keep it real.
They paid Juwan like he should be playing left tackle.
All right. Maybe they
move him.
All right. We'll dig into it. And the next moves and what this might mean for the Broncos toward the draft and whatever else is going on. It's a much more a quiet day, although there are some Broncos on the move. So we'll get you updated with all the news. It's Tom Nalen, DMAC, it's Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's NFL Free Agency, breaking down the Broncos' acquisitions of Kareem Jackson and Juwan James. Here's the drop.
Oh, sorry. It's DMAC and Tom Nalen. Mike Kliss is reporting the following, Tom. The Broncos probably would not have signed Juwan James had they signed Billy Turner. And they didn't really pursue Juwan James until things broke down with Billy Turner. Wow.
I seriously doubt that.
Why?
Because you're looking to upgrade the position. I think they were probably looking at Billy Turner as a swing guy, a guy for depth. Yeah, I know what you got. And then 10 hours later, you got, you know, you're paying $50 million. It's quite the swing right there.
It is quite the swing.
So they weren't thinking of upgrading?
I think what that would have led to is drafting Jonah Williams, the tackle from Alabama, with the number 10 overall pick. I think that's what it would have led to. I think they were going to... Yeah, I know what you're saying, and that surprised me too. Because I saw Mike put it out that once things broke down with Billy Turner, they moved on to Juwan James. And I was like, whoa. That didn't feel right to me either. Like...
I think they were trying to get both. If Billy Turner turned down, what did he get? He got 7 a year average.
Mm-hmm. 11 in the first year. Yeah.
I'm sure that was a lot better than what the Broncos were offering. So
right.
You're thinking maybe they were 5-6 a year? Maybe nine?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Maybe 9 in the first
That's
year?
That's why I asked the question. That's why it seemed peculiar to me that it would be like, now we're going to go get Juwan James. That didn't make sense to me either.
No. You just don't all of a sudden do a 180 like that. I think they were negotiating with both.
Well, that's what Mike's reporting.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Probably would not have signed Juwan James had they signed Billy Turner. That's an interesting one right there.
I think they liked his versatility. Stepped in and played right tackle, guard. That's value. That's value right there. Especially on game day, when it comes down to, should I dress this number of receivers, this number of linebackers for special teams, or where can I cut back?
Why are you so down on Garrett Bowles?
I didn't think he improved much. As a rookie, you can chalk it up to him being a rookie.
Okay.
And to get up to speed in the NFL. Not only that, I mean, he's taken one-on-one pass rush against Von Miller, which should help him. He's never going to have a guy like him to go against in a game. You'd think he would improve from year one to year two, but and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's gotten better, but he's a holding machine. It's hard to be successful when you're Case Keenum and it's 2nd and 20. There's not a lot of plays in the playbook for 2nd and 20.
Right.
You're running screens, basically, and the teams know that. So why am I down on him? If he was a 5th-round pick and they had him out there at left tackle.
No big deal, right?
And you,
there's you
not
move
a,
on.
There's not a lot of money involved. You miss on a 1st-round pick.
You're stuck with him.
For at least another year.
At least another year.
Maybe move him inside. Maybe
Maybe
Mike Munchak has plans for him somewhere else.
I would think, you know, the 1st-round picks, to me, it seems like you get 3 years.
Robert Gallery was a tackle coming out of college. Mm-hmm. I think he went number one overall to the Raiders.
Yeah, oh, for sure to the Raiders, yeah.
I think he was one overall.
Yeah, then he became the tallest guard of all time.
He was a guard.
Yeah.
Eventually, you have to cut your losses, whether that's cutting the player or finding another place for him on the offensive line.
So would you be...
But Joe Flacco is not going to be helped by 2nd and 20.
So Juwan James is a high-paid right tackle.
I don't know.
But a relative bargain over a left tackle.
And I know I mentioned that maybe they're thinking of switching him to left tackle, but going from right to left is, there's two different worlds there.
Yeah.
And maybe he has a history of some left tackle in his life. I don't know. Maybe he played left at Tennessee in college, but.
So what would you be doing at left tackle then?
Well, you've missed, there's no one to replace him free agent wise. You're looking at college players.
I kind of
you're going with the whole Mike Munchak can fix him.
Well, okay.
He's had offensive line coaches. He's been taught. It's not his footwork or anything. It's his feet are fine. So there's nothing he really can improve there. It's more hand placement and angles and things like that that a coach just can't come in and say, just do this. Okay, I'm fine. People talk about Alex Gibbs like he came in and fixed everything, but he implemented a scheme, and maybe that's what Mike Munchak can do, is implement a scheme that will help him, whether that's putting a tight end. No, you don't want to put a tight end over there because then the DN's just going to be wider. But maybe have slides to him or Max Protect or Chip. Philip Lindsay is a fantastic chipper because I had him in high school. I know what he can do. He loves to hit big dudes. So you can chip. There's ways to hide a left tackle. You shouldn't have to hide the left tackle because he's usually your highest paid player on the offensive line.
Well, that's where I was going to go.
But if you're paying this guy on the right, all my slides are going left. I'm getting help on the left. Because then Garrett Bowles knows he has help inside. So if you have help inside, then you can kind of overplay the outside.
But we're talking about a Band-Aid then, big time.
Yeah, they missed. And just because he's playing, this is the thing about the draft as well.
So this draft was
successful because so-and-so played, and there's all these starters. Well, some of these guys have to play.
There's no choice.
You have to put 11 guys on offense and 11 on defense. They may be crap, but they're your draft picks. So you say, oh, that guy, he played 16 games for us. He was a success.
So when you say they missed, then...
I want to backtrack on that, because Barney Chavis, remember Barney Chavis?
Sure, of course.
Former Bronco D lineman.
Yeah.
He told me that a player's, the biggest jump in a player in the NFL is from year 2 to 3.
Okay. And Bowles is getting, in years 2 to 3, Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper.
Mm. Chris Cooper's going to be little to no help. He's a guard. He's an inside he's an inside guy.
He's been stunning offensive line coaching for he's been down there in Miami
for a couple years.
Yeah.
He's an inside
little
guy.
Little to no though. Help.
He's an inside guy.
Okay.
He's going to help Connor McGovern.
Okay.
He's going to help you guards.
All right.
If they're healthy.
All right.
But
you got an okay relationship with Chris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. You just said he'd be little to no help.
I'm just saying.
You're being honest. I understand.
What am I going to say? If it was Tony Boselli out there, yeah, he would help the left tackle.
Mike Munchak is what? What do you think of Mike Munchak?
I think he's had good offensive lines in Pittsburgh. I don't know much about him because I didn't play for him, but I only know that he's had good offensive lines. Now, okay. Has he had good players with DeCastro and Pouncey and guys like that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, we'll see. I mean, he's got his work cut out for him, but they wanted him pretty bad, and he took his time taking this job here. The Broncos wanted him. And there's no doubt they probably gave him some tape to look at.
Mm-hmm.
He got to look at the roster. He probably had a conversation about what they're going to do in free agency.
Do you think he does possess some sort of skills in terms of an offensive line coach that other coaches don't have or looks at things differently? Is there something special about him?
I think because he played the game, he's a Hall of Fame
does
offensive
that matter
lineman.
To you guys.
And I had Alex Gibbs. I had Rick Dennison. Dennison was a linebacker.
Right.
And I've always thought that, and Rick Dennison was a fantastic offensive line coach. Brilliant. Smart. But he would listen to you. You'd have some input with him. But when I always felt like I'd be a better D-line coach because I know how to attack the O-line.
Gotcha.
I know what their weaknesses are. I know what they don't like. I know what makes them uncomfortable. But you're an offensive lineman. You know the D-line moves and things like that. But I'm hoping he has a say in the scheme when it comes to game planning because Alex Gibbs used to stick up for us because Mike Shanahan, every play that he wrote down, they're all touchdowns. Every play in the playbook is a touchdown. But they're not viable because, oh, wait, you have to block Albert Haynesworth or some dude that's just going to blow up every play you run. We had a game where we played the Vikings. Schlereth was hurt. Dave Diaz-Infante started at left guard. We turned every protection to John Randall. We doubled his butt every play. And he didn't get a sniff. That's only because Alex Gibbs went up to Shanahan and said, dude, none of these plays are working if John Randall's one-on-one.
When we come back, you mentioned you coach Philip Lindsay. Let's go into that a little bit. I think that's fascinating. And Tom's here. You haven't been able to hear him for a couple years. So the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Call in on that as well. It's DMAC, Tom Nalen, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's NFL Free Agency. Breaking down the Broncos' acquisitions of Kareem Jackson and Jawan James. Here's The Drive.
D-Mac, Tom Nalen. The RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. You can call us there, too. So if you got some questions, this would be... I'd be very curious what people want to ask you or throw your way as you're back.
I never left.
Well, you're back on the radio. You're seriously, what have you been? What do you do all day?
Nothing. I'm working on my house some.
What does that mean?
Doing some carpentry, painting, stuff like that, demo. It's fun.
Is it? That sounds awful. Just pay people to.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm home all the time.
So you
I'm not going to sit there and watch some dude put up shiplap and paint it when I'm sitting there.
Me neither.
Well, you got stuff to do. I don't.
Mm. It's limited.
I got tons of tools. I might as well use them. Table saw. Ooh, great tool.
You like the table saw?
Oh, love it. Dangerous. Scary sometimes.
What was the last thing you made on your table saw?
I don't make anything.
Well, what do you do with it? For what reason?
You gotta rip wood.
What was the last time you ripped wood?
3 days ago.
Why?
Because I had to get a piece in. I have these cabinets in the laundry room. And I wanted to reuse a piece. So I had to rip a piece down to make it fit. There you go.
Did it work?
Of course it did.
Did you measure twice and cut once?
No. No, no, no. I make lots of mistakes. my scrap pile of mistakes is large. There's only one way to learn.
Wait, is your beautiful wife working?
No.
So it's just the two of you at home all day?
Nah, she finds things to do.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that That's not good.
I think she just drives down the street and sits in the car.
I mean, it's got to be at least something like that. There's got to be like moments.
She's 100 yards down the street, listening to music.
You got one kid left in the house.
Yes.
I have one kid left in the house. You started with three. I only started with two. It's a different deal when you only have one kid. I almost feel bad for the one kid to a certain degree.
Yes.
Because
you have four eyes looking at him.
All the time. There's there's too much attention probably.
Yeah, but I have a girl, you have a boy.
Yeah.
And she keeps to herself. She'll hide in her room.
Ah, well, so does he. I mean, what do you think, you know?
Oh, he's not hanging out with you?
Well, he wants to play baseball. He wants to play college baseball.
Yeah.
He's just named a captain as a junior. That's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
What position?
Middle infield. He'll start at second, but he could easily play short as well.
Like Pedroia? Yeah? A little Petty? Petey?
I always compare like just short guys to Dustin Pedroia.
He's 5'9".
I mean, it's not an insult.
I didn't know your son was short. He's a second baseman. Is he tall?
Of course he's not tall.
No.
You didn't know my son was short. What'd you think he was? No, you think he was like 6'2"? A kid of mine?
Your son that was playing hockey wasn't short.
He's 5'9".
Really?
Yeah.
He's tall for a mite.
I mean, he's tall for me.
5'9".
Anyways, he's down at Arizona State. He's having a great time. He loves just being a student and just having fun with the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's fun because I can pretend that I'm going to college again.
Really?
A little bit. All right. I'm a bit ridiculous.
When you go to party with, have you partied with him yet?
No.
Okay.
But.
Do it. I've done it.
How is it?
The Lax team, the Lax Bros.
How'd it go?
Extremely awkward. Fine with the guys. But you go to a house party with the lacrosse team, there's girls there. There's where the weirdness comes in. These girls are all college-age girls, and they're younger than one of my daughters. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And it's weird.
Yeah.
Real weird.
Yeah, I'm not to that point there,
I've done it twice. I did it last year. I did this year.
I would have to be invited to so
I was invited.
You were invited.
It was a lacrosse party. I was with the lacrosse team.
Mm-hmm.
So I went. And it's fine in the beginning because it's just the lacrosse team.
And how old is your son now?
20.
20, right. Because he's 1 year older than Connor,
Yeah. To be 20 again.
Dude, it's a good life. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, I just haven't been invited. We've been down there. It's the possibility existed.
Would he invite you?
No.
Dad, come along.
No. No.
See, my son invited me.
Yeah, no.
And other players invited me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I went.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's real weird.
Yeah, how'd your wife like that? Is she in favor of,
She doesn't care.
You hanging out with the Lax Bros?
She doesn't care. It's been twice. Maybe I'll go in a couple weeks.
Syracuse. Here I come, ladies. I'm coming for you.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go up there when Syracuse is in town.
That's awesome. So when does that happen?
April 2nd.
Okay.
Yep.
In Syracuse or in Hobart?
In Geneva.
In Geneva.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because games in the Dome are, lacrosse games in the Dome are, it's weird. You know, it's awesome, but, you know, it's a 50,000-seat stadium for 1,000 people. You know, it's kind of an odd
deal. He played there last year. He loved
it.
He thought it was pretty cool.
Well, of course. You play in Syracuse.
No, it was the Dome.
Oh.
You care about Syracuse?
What's this Broncos team? All right. What do you think the big plan is for John Elway and the Broncos? What do you think it's all about here?
Winning the division, first and foremost. I think you don't go out and trade for Joe Flacco and think that we're going to try and tank and get another quarterback. I think he thinks that he's the guy, the right guy for the offense. You have to find a compatible quarterback for your offensive system.
Who's the quarterback for the Broncos? Yeah, okay, I'll go there.
Who else is out there that could fit in that system?
You tell me.
There's no one in the draft. It's so hard to find. I'll tell you, Kevin Hogan from Stanford is on the roster. He's a viable candidate to be your quarterback in the future, because I think you have to look at the college offenses and think, well, this is a style that would fit the NFL. It's so hard to find a quarterback in college because their offenses don't line up with the NFL offenses for the most part.
Do you like any of them? Does anybody ring your bell?
A quarterback in college?
Quarterback in college. Last year, this year, next year, 2 years. So I can go through some guys if you just want me to rip. Last year, let's just take last year for example. Sam Darnold.
I USC's offense. Because I look at USC's offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Josh Rosen's coming too.
He's coming.
It's
That's
hard.
My next guy.
It's hard because why is Josh Rosen available? Because that doesn't fit the Arizona offense now.
And not now, because they hired a college coach who's going to put in a completely different offense.
Right. We'll see how that goes, how long it lasts.
It's a wild ride.
They still running the Wildcat these days?
I don't know what they're going to do down there. It seems, you know, listen, to me, if you hire a coach and you fire him after 1 year and you draft a quarterback in the first round, you get rid of him, you're a dumpster fire. Like if you thought the Broncos were bad, look at the Cardinals. I mean, that is the definition. How Steve Heim, the general manager, keeps his job down there is anybody's. Your guess is as good as mine on that. I don't know how you survive that. I don't know how you're a general manager and you make so many bad decisions that you're blowing everything up after 1 year. I mean, it's bad enough that John Elway, you know, hired the wrong guy with Vance Joseph and then made a terrible draft decision with Paxton Lynch. And then double down on it with Case Keenum, although, as you pointed out, what were your choices, really?
He didn't have a choice.
Except you could have drafted somebody.
Man, Quentin Nelson should be the guard. I mean, that's who they should have taken. They shouldn't have taken a quarterback, because if you don't think the quarterback is available and you couldn't move up into three or some of those quarterbacks, then what choice do you have? Plus, you've already got Case Keenum, you've already signed him. Why pay a dude $36 million for 2 years if you don't think he's the guy that can mesh well?
Why are you just offering him a 2-year deal?
Because you don't know. Nobody knows.
How do you develop a quarterback ever then? Where do they ever come from?
Here's the problem is Brock Osweiler should have been the answer.
That's right.
I know there was no plan B, but when you're the backup to Peyton Manning, you're not getting reps and you're not learning the offense. Who's Peyton Manning's backups? Curtis Painter?
Right.
Jim Sorgi? These are guys.
Right.
They're actual NFL quarterbacks. And when they got their chance to play, it didn't go well. Because you're not developed. So I don't know what the pick of Brock Osweiler was, but the plan would have been, well, he's going to take over after Peyton Manning. But he didn't develop. He wasn't allowed to develop. So there was a mistake. You draft Paxton Lynch. Did you see the offense at Memphis?
Well, Billy Musgrave said they had 8 plays.
I think it was 7.
Yeah, okay.
How are you supposed to know this guy can play in the NFL?
Well, I know you're in trouble when your current offensive coordinator is ripping you for your lack of basically football knowledge from college. But of course, Billy Musgrave had nothing to do with Paxton Lynch getting drafted here. He just had to try to deal with them.
Right. He had to.
So that nightmare.
He had to try to fit a square peg into a round hole.
He had to try, at least.
But he shouldn't have to. You should be drafting. You should be signing. That's why I love the pick of Joe Flacco, or the trade of Joe Flacco, because he gives your team the best chance to win in this style offense. There isn't a quarterback coming out in the draft that you can say is played in this offense, because none of them do. So you don't know. It's all question mark.
All right, but okay, let me just get to Josh Rosen then. Third-round pick, if you could get him. Now he's a third-round quarterback. All you're giving up is a third-round pick. And there is zero pressure for Josh Rosen to play this particular season. There may be no pressure for him to play for 2 or 3 years. Theoretically, things go well with Joe Flacco. Now you've got, unless you just really think.
If Arizona's willing to part with him for a third-round pick.
It's a no-brainer, right?
It's a no-brainer for the Broncos, but why are they willing to unload him for a third-round pick?
There's problems.
Do they know something we don't know? Is he a problem? Can he not throw?
What do you think?
I had questions of him coming out of UCLA with concussions.
Okay.
I mean, he was ragdolled a lot at UCLA. He was concussed a lot at UCLA. That's a concern for me. With Garrett Bowles at left tackle.
On that note, we'll take a very quick break. It's D-Mac, Tom Nail, and Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.